next on the 5 o'clock report.
John Lewis was my hero, my friend. Let's honor him by getting in good trouble.
John Lewis always looked outward, not inward.
And liftoff as the countdown to Mars continues.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, delaying the election.
He will have a steep hill to climb if he ever tries to put this tweet into action.
That is our top story at 5. The president's latest tweet setting off a political firestorm today. Mr. Trump suggesting that perhaps a delay in the November 3rd election would be proper, so those mail-in votes could be secured.
At this point, the president is merely tweeting, which doesn't constitute anything more than a few characters typed out online. He would have to obtain congressional approval, and if he tried to circumvent that, he would be violating the law of the land.
That is political analyst Leonard Steinhorn. President Trump has repeatedly expressed concern that mail-in voting would result in a rigged outcome in November. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pressed on the president's tweet earlier today.
Can a president delay a presidential election?
The Department of Justice, others will make that legal determination. We all should want, I know you do too, Senator Kaine, want to make sure we have an election that everyone is confident in.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says he understands the president's concerns with voter fraud, but there's no way the election will be postponed.
We should have absentee voting, but this mass just mailing out ballots without having any checks and balances, without people requesting, really brings concern in there, but no way should we ever not hold our election on the day that we have it.
President Trump tweeting today that mail-in voting will result in the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in U.S. history. Remembering a civil rights icon. That is the other big story at 5.
John Lewis was my hero, my friend. Let's honor him by getting in good trouble.
The funeral for former Georgia congressman and civil rights legend John Lewis taking place today at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. Three former presidents were there, including George W. Bush.
From Troy to the sit-ins of Nashville, from the Freedom Rides to the March on Washington, from Freedom Summer to Selma, John Lewis always looked outward, not inward. He always thought of others. He always believed in preaching the gospel in word and in deed, insisting that hate and fear had to be answered with love and hope.
Barack Obama and Bill Clinton also in attendance today. John Lewis died earlier this month from cancer. He was 80. Former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain passed away today in Atlanta. He was 74. The CEO of Godfather's Pizza hospitalized with COVID-19 back on July 1st. Less than 2 weeks before that diagnosis, Herman Cain attended a Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Within the Trump campaign, they have a coalition called Black Voices for Trump. And certainly Herman Cain was one of the most famous and prominent of those voices.
Kelly O'Donnell at NBC News. Herman Cain unsuccessfully ran for president in 2000 and in 2004. The U.S. economy shrank by a dizzying 33% during the second quarter, the April to June plunge caused by COVID-19. The Commerce Department says the historic decline in the gross domestic product breaks the previous record of economic contraction that was set back in 1958. The NBA reboot tips off tonight in the bubble in Orlando. 22 teams in action. Each will play 8 games with the playoffs to follow at ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex in Florida.
For more than 3 weeks, players from 22 teams have been training and living at Disney World, sequestered at private hotels, and scrimmaging on isolated courts.
That is sports reporter Sam Brock. Still to come this Thursday, Mike Pence in Pennsylvania. Go time for schools in New York and mission to Mars.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Through the evening hours, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms across parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania and maybe the eastern southern tier of New York. Elsewhere, it'll turn out partly cloudy to clear tonight. Low temperatures upper 50s to the middle 60s with a few fog patches. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow with a high temp in the low 80s. Mostly sunshine on Saturday with a high temperature in the 80s.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, July 30th. The vice president making a campaign stop in western Pennsylvania today where his campaign bus was involved in a minor fender bender. The VP was not hurt after the bus he was in swiped the front end of a dump truck. Mike Pence was near Pittsburgh attending a Cops for Trump event at the Greensburg Police Department.
When others run away from danger, police run straight into harm's way. Counting our lives is more important than their own. Putting their lives on the line to protect someone who, in most cases, they'd never even met.
The latest polls show President Trump losing to Joe Biden in Pennsylvania by 9 points. Monroe County, New York, lawmakers will officially introduce plans to rename Rochester's airport after abolitionist and notable Rochester historical figure Frederick Douglass. The bipartisan legislation would rename that airport the Frederick Douglass Greater Rochester International Airport. The legislation announced today after a petition to rename the airport gained some traction online. Well, tomorrow is the deadline for New York's 700 school districts to submit their reopening plans to the state of New York.
We are obviously waiting for guidance from Governor Cuomo on whether or not we can be back fully at the start of school.
Mary Grace Mazzullo, superintendent at Williamson Central near Rochester, she is pushing a hybrid plan for reopening there with the week split between home and school. Seventh grader Evan Truax.
It's going to be a little hard on me because, you know, like I have to wear a mask. But besides that, I bet I'm going to have a good learning year.
At nearby Honeyoy Falls, Lima, and Pittsford Central, both districts making plans to bring elementary kids back to school full time in September. HFL Superintendent Gene Mancuso says parents there are demanding that the youngsters be back in school.
The consistent message was, our youngest learners, our first-time learners, until they can operate a Zoom or learn to read more independently, that daily repetition, while it was okay, it didn't meet the needs of most families. And we took that feedback to heart.
The older kids at both districts would split the school year at home and at school. In fact, most districts across the state tend to be leaning towards that full-time for elementary kids and part-time for middle and high schoolers. In Buffalo, there's a push to extend tomorrow's deadline.
We're willing to work with the district to do it. We need to. But it doesn't seem like there's any interest in having people work together.
Phil Ramore runs the teachers union in Buffalo. He says educators need more of a say in how schools reopen in the Queen City. Governor Cuomo will have the final say next week. Let them play. That is the recommendation from the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association. It is allowing fall sports in the Keystone State to start on time.
There's recreational programs going on every day of the week all over this commonwealth. I really believe our schools need the same opportunity.
Dr. Bob Lombardi is executive director of high school sports in Pennsylvania.
If we don't try to get something out of the season for students, I think we're failing them.
The fall sports plan in PA calls for no fans in the stands, but it does allow for the kids to play. Another casualty of coronavirus, bowling alleys. They remain under lock and key in New York, and many are frustrated with the lack of guidance from the state on when they can get rolling again.
It's very frustrating, and it's frustrating not only from a business standpoint, but we employ 66 people, so they're waiting to get back to work. This is how they support their families, make their mortgage payments, pay their car payments, and we have no work for them because we are not open and we can't be operational.
Donna Perna owns Transit Lanes in Williamsville.
Once we are able to reopen, everything will be sanitized, everyone will be wearing masks, we will be in 100% compliant.
Perna says her finances are in the gutter and she should have the right to strike it rich, just like anyone else fighting for their economic survival in the era of COVID-19. Seabreeze Amusement Park along the shores of Lake Ontario will stay quiet for the rest of the summer. Officials announcing today that the park will not be opening because of the pandemic. It marks the first time in the park's 141 years in existence that it won't open for the summer. Christmas, probably the last thing on your mind right now, but Christmas tree farms are in the middle of their prep season right now. Farmers are using the summer months to make sure you get the perfect tree come December.
We plant every place that we've lost a tree to harvest. It's all hot and sticky, and there's bugs and bees and things of that sort that you have to deal with this time of year, and it's part of farming.
Mark Morgan with the Morgan Hillside Tree Farm in Windsor, New York, says shearing is an important summertime tradition at his tree farm.
The trees, when they grow, they'll kind of get out of the traditional shape of a Christmas tree, which is kind of a cone shape. So what we do is just kind of keep that within those small parameters and make them look as good as they possibly can for Christmas.
Morgan says the payoff for the hard work he's putting in right now comes later this year.
We as Christmas tree growers have to remember one thing. The tree is a centerpiece of Christmas. I mean, everybody has a ham or a turkey or whatever they eat. That varies. But the Christmas tree doesn't vary. It's pretty much the centerpiece of all your Christmas, all the tradition. So we have to look good.
Morgan says the work doesn't stop in the fall either. His staff will be busy mowing and shearing right up until the time you show up at his farm to buy that perfect Christmas tree. Time now for your market report, brought to you each and every day by Ambassador Advisors. Wall Street finishing mixed today after some troubling economic news that showed the U.S. economy shrinking by 33% in the second quarter because of COVID. At the closing bell, the Dow was down 225, the NASDAQ was ahead 45, and the S&P 500 slipped 12. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Here's Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. What's coveting, and what does the Bible say about it? Well, coveting is when you want something that belongs to someone else, and the Lord makes it clear what he thinks about it in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Did you hear that? Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Coveting begins in the heart, and it comes from a lack of contentment. You're not happy or satisfied with what God has provided. So ask God to teach you gratefulness and contentment with what you have, and to give you the drive to work hard for the things that you want.
And we can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you visit us online at moneywise.org.
12 minutes past the hour, sunny time. Drive Home Sports.
A lot of breaking news. First, the Blue Jays and Phillies postponed their weekend series due to concerns over the spread of coronavirus after two Philadelphia staffers tested positive for COVID-19. Earlier in the day, another player for the Miami Marlins who played in Philadelphia last weekend also tested positive for the virus. That's 17 Miami Marlins players along with two staff members. Breaking news out of Buffalo, the Bills sent their rookies home after the team facility had five positive coronavirus tests this week. Yes, and there's more breaking news after the ACC said, "Hey, Notre Dame, come join us." And they're going to play a league-only conference for the most part for when it comes to the games. The SEC is saying the same thing. They're only going to play amongst themselves, wow, hoping to get through the season. Wow. For family life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're heading toward the weekend with the expectation that high pressure will bring us fair, pleasant weather for tomorrow and Saturday. Lower pressure will arrive with showers and rumbles on Sunday. Thereafter, we'll have to watch the coast. Currently, Tropical Storm Isaias moving through the areas around Puerto Rico and the northeastern Caribbean. Maybe a threat on the east coast Tuesday, Wednesday, something to keep an eye on. In the meantime, through the evening hours, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms across parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania, and maybe the eastern southern tier of New York. Elsewhere, it'll turn out partly cloudy to clear tonight. Low temperatures upper 50s to the middle 60s with a few fog patches. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow with a high temp in the low 80s. Mostly sunshine on Saturday with a high temperature in the 80s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally at 5, mission to Mars.
2-1-0. Down to Mars continues.
NASA launching the Perseverance rover into space this morning from Cape Canaveral. It'll reach the red planet 7 months from now.
A new ocean has opened and free men must sail it.
Robert Zuprin is with the Mars Society.
Mars is the new world, and the society that explores it and ultimately settles it will be the society that puts its stamp on the future.
Correspondent Steve Futterman was on the Space Coast for today's historic launch.
There are lots of bells and whistles on this mission. The biggest.
I'm sure the helicopter will be the star of the show.
Yes, a helicopter called Ingenuity. It's small, weighs just 4 pounds, but if it works, as Jet Propulsion Laboratory engineer Steve Barajas.
We've never flown anything on another planet before, so this is going to be the first time that, you know, we're going to go airborne somewhere else other than Earth.
Perseverance will also dig into the Martian surface for some samples. The plan is to bring the samples back in 2031.
Exciting. Stuff going on in outer space.
If I remember correctly, this is how Martians speak, too. Or something like that.
There he goes, folks.